Well, once again, Muslim terrorists.
A terrorist
slaughtered
attack.
Innocent
Islamic
people.
Extremists now control terrorists. Much of the country.
The rise
Their brand of justice
Islamo
is
Nazism.
Brutal and deadly.
Newsflash, America. These Muslim extremists are alive and well. They are not dead. And their video is not gratuitous. And it certainly is not irrelevant. It is a warning.
Welcome to the Truth About Muslims podcast, the official podcast of the Zwemer Center for Muslim Studies, where we help to educate you beyond the media. Here are your hosts, Howard and Trevor.
All right, we're doing a show, Howard and I. No guests today, because it's been a while.
We're not interested in guests today.
That's right. We have decided that it has been far too long since we've done our own show, and we have a, something in the media that was definitely, for you early listeners, a boom goes the dynamite moment this week.
But before we get to that, we want to say thank you to our reviewers. We got a lot of reviews lately, I think on our iTunes website.
I think we're up to 26.
Yeah, 26
ratings. We were giving like a weekly update, and then all of a sudden we stopped checking because we figured people stopped giving reviews.
Right, but no, I mean, and they've been really, really gracious. There's this one, in particular, one reviewer said, "When it comes to sharing the gospel, I would trade all my apologetics training for what I've learned from this podcast." Why, thank you.
Boom.
I did not expect that, but okay. "Apologetics is excellent for my personal walk with Christ, just not evangelism as much. I had God boxed into my very nice American dream. He loved me and Americans, and his justice would rain on those evil Muslims. Then I became friends with a Muslim girl my age and started listening."
Oh, that changes everything.
Right?
You become friends with a Muslim.
Right, they become human, okay? "Muslim girl my age and started listening to this podcast. Whoa, did that shake things up. God is so much bigger and greater than I realized. Learning to see things through their eyes, finally had opened doors that I never imagined. I never knew how God had hidden the keys to his kingdom in the Muslim religion, giving them so many beliefs that are just right for making them pre-Christians." Yeah, so, and it keeps going on and on. It's a really, really nice review. And we just wanted to say thank you because we sometimes don't mention some of the feedback we get from our listeners, but it really does make a difference for why we do what we do.
Absolutely. It matters that people are listening. And so, anyway.
Yeah.
And you mentioned in there to turn up the sound, and you mentioned Trevor turn up the sound. I just want to say that I don't have anything to do with the sound. That's all Howard.
Yeah, okay, in my defense.
The one time I did do the sound, it was horrible. It was when we did Nabil Jabbour, and the sound was so messed up, we had to buy software to fix it.
Right.
Because I did the sound.
Right, and even when we bought the software, it wasn't, like, fixing it well. But anyway, the point is, I'm not a sound engineer, and so I'm learning along the way. So I really appreciate everyone's patience and grace and all that good stuff.
Send Howard an encouraging word. He does good, man. It's been good.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know what we're doing, and we're doing it. So, like, this is really good.
Yeah, this was all kind of started on a whim about, I don't know, 6 months ago. It is a bit bizarre that it's been going for this long, and we're starting to get some momentum. But here's the deal. This is where you guys come in.
Yes, please.
Spread the word.
Yes.
Get people to listen. Understand that we're talking about this in a little bit different way than what they're seeing in the media, and we need to have a little bit more diversity in how we look at the world. And we try to always bring it from the perspective of how does our Christian worldview, how should we view this? How should we view this in light of Scripture, in light of missions, and try to make things a little bit more complicated than the 30-second soundbite we hear in the news.
Right, and we know it's so hard because you podcast listeners, I mean, we're different. I know that not everyone even knows what a podcast is or how to get on one, but you might have to just grab their phones, download an app, subscribe them, post it on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you want to do, because we need to get the word out, because we really want to influence people towards, you know, God... You know, how God sees Muslims, where he wants to see them come to know him.
So, anyway, thanks for the reviews. They're very encouraging. We haven't had any hateful reviews yet, so if you're wanting to do one of those, just don't. It would hurt our feelings. We're sensitive people. We do get some hate mail, but we get far more encouragement than we do hate mail. So, thanks so much, guys, for your encouragement.
Right.
So, the show wouldn't be possible without sponsors.
And this week's sponsors are...
Zwemer Center.
Zwemer Center.
Zwemer Center.
The Zwemer Center. Zwemer Center.
And what does the Zwemer Center do?
Talks about Muslims and tells them on the computer that we love you.
Very nice.
The Zwemer Center equips the church to reach Muslims.
The Zwemer Center has been educating people about reaching Muslims before it was cool.
Let's do it this week. What do we got, Howard?
Okay.
This is on Howard's insistence that we talk about this issue. Well, I'm more of a, I don't really want to talk about it.
Okay, well, we really need to talk about it because we're talking about the exhibition, right, depicting the Prophet Muhammad, put on by an organization headed by a woman named Pamela Geller.
Mm.
And, okay, so for those of you that didn't know, is that she made this contest, or this organization made this contest, and they offered a $10,000 prize for those that drew pictures of Muhammad. And it was, of course, really, really controversial, and it was kind of playing off the
Charlie Hebdo
tragedy.
The Danish cartoon drawings,
right,
way back when.
Right, right. And so she's been getting a lot of attack, but at the same time, everyone's kind of stuck in this, well, we don't want to speak against free speech, but at the same time, everyone kind of thinks what she did was wrong.
Oh, she achieved the impossible. At this point in time in the United States, you are in one camp or the other. No matter how much you want to say you're balanced or you try to speak in a balanced position, everybody always pigeonholes you into one camp or the other. She achieved the impossible where she has both liberals and conservatives hating on her. So, I mean, in that sense, I was like, wow. You know, you can't say that this was politically motivated because you even have Bill O'Reilly condemning the woman. And
right.
Then you also have MSNBC and CBS and everybody. Everybody's upset with what she did.
Yeah, and that makes sense because it sounds like she was inviting... She wanted fundamentalists to come and attack, fundamentalist Muslims
oh, yeah.
to come and attack, and it just seemed really irresponsible. But I was really surprised at how many artists had sent in entries. It was 350, and the artist that actually got that won the $10,000 prize, he started posting it all over Twitter and social media because he wanted to get the artwork out there. I figured he would kind of run and hide at that point, but he did not. But okay, so Trevor, tell me why exactly you didn't want to talk about this.
I just don't like to talk about, well, one, Muhammad, because I know it's such a touchy subject for so many of my Muslim friends.
Right.
I guess because there's two issues here, right? Muhammad is a controversial figure and draws a lot of attention, both positive and negative, from all over the world. Most,
mm-hmm.
I think it's the most popular first name in the world. As a matter of fact, I was watching a show, Big Bang Theory. Not ashamed to say that I watched. That was actually quite funny. And one of the guys says to the other guy, who's a one of those really brilliant people in the world that has no social skills, he says to him, "You're never going to guess who I ran into today." And he said, "Muhammad Lee." And he said, "Who is Muhammad Lee?" And he said, "Well, it's just statistical, deduction.
Right,
Muhammad
name.
Is the most popular first name in
right.
the world, and Lee is the most popular last
name.
So I just said Muhammad Lee." So in that sense, when all of this came out, Muslims responded. Some Muslims responded quite well, but we didn't get to see that in the news.
Right, because that's not newsworthy.
Right. Some Muslims decided that draw a picture of your best friend who's named Muhammad, just a person, as a way to counteract the what they considered hatred or hate speech of this contest.
Right.
So you have the controversy with it's Muhammad, and then you have the other controversy where we're dealing with free speech. And this is where it gets really complex, for me, anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, as Christians, how do we deal with free speech? I mean, I've lived in a country where there was not free speech, and I don't think I would want it that way.
Right. That's really extreme.
Right. But on the other hand, as a believer and a follower of Christ, I don't believe that I'm entitled to free speech because I think that my tongue is also brought into the submission, under the submission of Christ. So
yeah,
there's a conflict, an internal conflict that I personally have.
Right, because... Just because you're able to do it doesn't necessarily mean you should.
Well, yeah, there are some things I can't say because I'm a follower of Christ. Like, I can't be hateful.
Right, just because you have the freedom doesn't mean, yeah, because that would, defile your beliefs. So the question is that what Pamela Geller does?
Well, I think the issue is that we have, okay, so here's the hard thing. You have a lot of Christians that are wanting to say, I don't like what she did. I think what she did is wrong, but I value free speech enough that I'm not willing to condemn what she did.
Right, and they can't speak to it because then they would be pigeonholed in one
yeah,
side or the other, which is what we're afraid of here.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope, right?
Right?
If you say she shouldn't have done it, that's wrong, inciting violence, and you shouldn't do that, then people say, so you're against free speech.
Right.
Which, yeah. You know what? Maybe that's what I'm saying. I'm not 100% sure where I stand on this. As a believer, I don't know that we are as entitled to these rights as we think we are. That's what I guess I'm a little bit hesitant about. I guess what I'm saying is not only should it have not been done, but I think Christians maybe shouldn't be so quick to say, I'm not willing to condemn what she did because I want to uphold free speech.
Right. And it's more nuanced than that.
It really is. Yeah. And I tell some of, I mean, we were fishing the other night and I mentioned to Howard, you know, you don't have as much free speech as we often say. You don't really have the freedom to say anything you want. I mean, you could walk into Walmart on Black Friday and shout fire, and you might incite violence. You know, you could have start a mob, and you know what? You're going to get in trouble for that.
Right.
You can't do that.
And of course, airplanes, you can't say bomb or anything like that, right?
Can you imagine? I'm thinking of Meet the Parents, the movie, where he says bomb on an airplane. Bomb. Yeah, no, you can't. You can't walk onto an airplane. Try it and call us and let us know how it goes.
Right. No, don't associate with us.
Wait, real quick, funny airplane story. I was flying to Louisiana. I was speaking at a conference. And the conference, one of the lectures that I had to give that I hadn't finished was Islam in the 21st Century and the Rise of Islamic Fundamentalism. So I'm going through my lectures, and my lectures are all image-driven PowerPoints, right? No words, just images. So there's 9/11, there's Bin Laden, there's Ayman Zawahiri, there's Sayyid Qutb, all these, you know, men responsible for the rise of Islamic fundamentalism. And I look behind me, and the person sitting behind me is staring at my computer like she just could not take her eyes off it. And all I'm thinking is, this is a bad idea what I'm doing right now. So I had to put my computer away because I'm on a plane. Can you imagine if you're sitting next to a guy that's sitting there looking at pictures of Bin Laden?
Looking at your computer.
Yes.
I was just thinking you were making a presentation. No.
She's looking over my shoulder, and I've got pictures of Bin Laden. I've got pictures of Zawahiri, and she's just sitting there looking at it, and I'm thinking, this woman is probably about to have a heart attack.
Right.
What am I thinking?
No. I would have reported you to Marshall.
You would have dove on me and put me in a headlock.
All right, this week's sponsors.
CIU. CIU educates people from a
biblical
world view.
CIU educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
So anyway, sorry. Yeah, so I'm just saying, I don't know that you have 100% free speech. I'm not sure we really understand what that means. But I do, I have lived in another context where you couldn't say anything. You could go to jail for just speaking out against the government.
Actually, can you give us an example of that? Because I know that you have a couple of stories.
Well, I mean, I have friends that would speak out against the government, and the next thing they know, they'd find themselves the next morning in the police station and then maybe even exiled to an outer island.
But did they know why?
Oh, of course.
I mean, the police told them.
Yeah, there could be a rumor. This person said this about this particular ruler, or this person said this about this particular part of the royal family, or this dictator, and then the next thing you know, they're gone. You know? And so you can't just say whatever you want in those countries, and I don't want that, of course. We've lived under that.
Right.
And so, but the question is, you know, we were talking about this just this morning. Maybe all things are permissible, but not beneficial.
Right.
And as a believer, we do have to uphold biblical values far and above maybe our constitutional rights. Is that okay to say? What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. What would you say that, what was the main problem with what Geller did? How does that affect our relationships with Muslims? Because, you know, I think that Muslims would assume that Geller would be a representation of Christianity. Correct.
Because she's American, sure. I mean, 78% of Americans claim to be Christians,
right. And
so they think Christian nation, this is what Christianity is. This is an attack of this is Christendom, Western Christendom, attacking Islam again. That's how it would be the propaganda that would go out in the Muslim world.
Right, and this news has gone throughout the whole world.
And I have no idea what Pamela Geller's faith stance is. I've not looked at the...
Right.
But I wouldn't want to make that claim.
But from a Christian standpoint, though... Why was it such a big deal for her to do this? Why would this affect what we do or what we believe as Christians?
Well, I think that the New Testament's pretty clear on this. This isn't a gray area that we're supposed to be careful with how we speak. Not to let unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, to season our conversations with salt, to not curse a brother, and then also to... you know, bless God and curse man with the same tongue of which man is made in the image of God. I mean, the bottom line, Howard, the thing for me is, like, I saw a Facebook post, and this is one of the reasons I'm not on Facebook, and it was a student that showed it to me. It said Texas 2, ISIS 0. And I was right. like...
And it was referring to the two gunmen that had come
right.
and the police had shot.
And of course, you have to. These guys show up and they're wanting to kill people and they're wanting to do an act of terrorism in the name of defending their prophet Muhammad.
Right.
But still, like, two people are dead. And I don't know. Like, even if these guys are doing wrong, there's still something that seems not right about gloating in the death of an enemy. I mean, that's from the Psalms, you know. But we get really confused when we, I don't know, confuse or conflate our faith and our nationalism and our love for our country and also our love for God. And are those two things always compatible? I'm just not sure. It's a really confusing thing.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot to think about
there,
yeah.
Tough.
Something that I always teach, because I'm a youth pastor, something I always teach is that, you know, there is a lot in the nuance of things. Like, it's easy to come up with dogmatic arguments, you know, set up straw men about what you believe so that you can, you know, imaginarily debate, you know, people that, you know, these really shallow arguments against your faith, and then you just knock them down and impress everybody. But then when it comes to the real world, I think you have to deal with the nuance. You have to deal with the gray issues and wrestle with them. I think this is one of those things where, you know, I think a lot of people come down hard on one side or the other, but I think there's a lot more to it than that.
And I think the tough thing is, you know, we're dealing a little bit with the Constitution, constitutional rights. Oh, man, this is such a huge topic and an inflammatory one, so I'm trying my best to be careful here. But we do realize that... I would think that as Christians we would want to uphold religious freedom, but oftentimes it seems like we're only willing to do that so long as it's the right religion.
Yeah.
We would want to uphold the right for people to pray or have religious attire in public schools, but so long as it's the right religion. And this is the same thing that France has been dealing with, right? So we kind of
right.
have to make up our minds. Do we want a secular society like France, where they implement this concept of laissez-faire or secularism, where you can't wear a headscarf, you can't
right.
wear a cross,
anything
you can't wear
religious.
A kippah, you can't have anything religious?
Right.
Or do we want to uphold a society where the government will not promote any particular religion, but also not infringe on the rights of the people to exercise their religion? And so that means that come Christmas time, there's going to be the manger scene, but then... come Eid, they're going to want that day off for their Eid celebration.
Right.
It's complicated, right? It's not so easy.
And holidays, would just thinking about holidays, like that would be a big deal, I think, if government, you know, workers all got off on every religious holiday. You see what I'm saying?
People
like,
start making them up, you mean, like Festivus?
Well, not just that, but just being really complicated, you know, I think. Yeah, so that's interesting.
But I think what we have to recognize is that we do value democracy. We do value the majority of the people, right?
Right.
And right now, Islam, Muslims are not the majority in the United States. And so it's a confusing thing. And like I said, I wrote an article, probably 3 months ago about Islamophobia in the church. And man, I got some really mean responses, like almost like I hated America or something. And I was tempted to respond, but I didn't, because it just feels like no matter what you say, people are trying to categorize you. And I think that's a first in our country. I think it hasn't been like that in a very long time historically, where people don't know you by who you are or what you believe or what you say, but they simply know you as either which party are you in.
Right,
and
political
stance. Polarize people. Yeah.
Right.
So
you don't hate America.
Of course not, no.
It's something that we talk about often, because Trevor and I both have been in missions for years and traveled all overseas, all over the place, and something that we always are reminded that when we come back to America, we feel like we're coming home.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's a wonderful thing. It's not one of those things, you know, people are like, if you don't like America, get out. You know, like, no, we like America. This is not the point. But I think that that God has called us to, you know, to go above even our patriotism, you know, to follow him, to be devoted to him, even beyond that, and to allow him to influence us more than even our politics, you know.
Yeah.
All right, so this show wouldn't be possible without sponsors. And at this point in the show is where, if you want to partner with us, we would put your ad. So if you want to be a part of the show, You want to partner with us.
You like what we're doing.
You want to be on our team, what have you.
Bring this show to the world.
Then email us and let us know.
And so what it comes down to is I see that there's often a polarization even within young Christians. So millennials out there, what is the age group of millennials? What does it go to, about 34? I'm right on the cusp.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like the last year of the millennial, and I think you're a Gen Xer, right?
Yes, I'm
so Gen Howard's Xer. Old. I'm young.
You're really. On the border.
Anyway, what I see with the millennials is there's an apathy towards government, an apathy towards any sort of political ideology at all. And so you have this sort of polarized view, again, like the spectrums. On one end of the spectrum, you have those that say that, you know what, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to God what is God's. I will have no involvement whatsoever in politics, and I will pursue pacifism and just allow God to work through government systems, and I won't have any role in it. Mm-hmm. And on the other end of the spectrum, you have those that believe that there is still the scripture that teaches that we do believe that it is the role of the church to have the kingdom of God, the will of God as it's done in heaven here on earth, and you can do that through political discourse.
Right, justice.
So there's these two radical ends of a spectrum, and I just see that the millennials tend to be on the end of the spectrum where they're completely apathetic, and the baby boomers are very much on the side of like political discourse and involvement, and something... There has to be some sort of middle ground there, right?
Yeah.
But I don't see it happening anytime soon. I work with a lot of college students, and I see a lot of apathy.
Right. Well, they're looking at changing the world outside of government.
Yeah.
You know? These startups and, you know, Kickstarters and such, and trying to, you know, start an NGO and such. But, yeah, it is an interesting situation. But I think that we should think on it. And I would love to hear... not hate, but some of your thoughts on it, because everything that I'm hearing on Twitter or Facebook or editorials and such are pretty extreme. So I'd like to hear what you guys are thinking about it.
Yeah, I think the kind of across the board is what Pamela Geller did. I think everybody pretty much agrees was wrong. It incited people to violence. Mm-hmm. And the loser is the two young men that lost their lives. That's the ultimate loser, and that ultimately they will now face judgment on their own. And it's sad that they wanted to believe something so badly they're willing to lay down their lives for it. So in looking at all of this, how does a Christian view all of this? I think that we appreciate the fact that we do live in the country that we live in, and that the Constitution is an amazing document, maybe the most amazing man-made document historically, and a lot of other countries have been built off of it.
Sure.
But also recognizing that as Christians, we do have a higher calling, and that our history has some pretty ugly spots. We have to realize where our country has done well, where our country has failed, and realize that no matter when we're failing or doing well, we are actually called to live above reproach of even our own Americanism and follow Jesus and make sure that our Americanism doesn't become our stumbling block. And I think that's why I like that reviewer's post. She was talking about how she had figured it out that God loved me in America and hated the evil Muslims. And I thought, wow, like, I think a lot of people probably find themselves in that place.
Right, by default.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I think
it's a public
just goes
narrative.
Along with it. Yeah, Jesus in America.
Yeah, I think it was Keith Green in the 80s that, when remember traveling to India, mm-hmm. said that, you know, God's not American. He's not even Republican.
Right. And I think I remember first hearing that, I was like, really? I just didn't even think in terms of that. Yeah, so, there's a lot to think about. I hope that you guys, as you're driving your cars or, you know, washing your dishes or doing whatever and listening to this, that you are wrestling with this just like we are. And, again, you know, write us at zwemmercenter@gmail.com. Check out our website. Read our articles. We actually have an article written by...
Matthew Stone
on this actual topic, and so we'll hopefully be releasing that somewhat soon. And I think he has a lot of good things to say about that.
Yeah, it's a complex issue, and just continue to pray for the Muslim world. Continue to pray for Muslims here in this country that are starting to feel that polarization. And I think that's my biggest concern, is that you have Muslims that feel like they have to toe a line all of a sudden. Like, whose side am I on? let's hope that they meet a follower of Christ that shows them that there is a higher calling than being on one side or the other, but simply following Jesus, which I think ultimately is the solution. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for listening. Remember to write reviews.
Yeah, comments at truthaboutmuslims.com.
Write in. We'll try to do more of these features where we highlight a reviewer or comment on email.
Yep.
So, thanks.